This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Thank you so much for listening to AM 1450 and streaming us online at kbps.am. My name is Jacob Patterson. I'm the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor. And in the studio with me is one of the hardest working students in Benson here at the Marshall campus, and has a new thing to tell us about that she has just accomplished. And any opportunity we get to highlight our Benson students and our Portland Public School students doing really well, we want to take that opportunity to do it. First of all, just tell us your name and tell us what grade you're in. Tell us what your major is at Benson.
Okay, my name is Mildred Castillo Bojorquez. I am a junior and also the junior president this year. I am a digital media major.
And Mildred, you took the KBPS sophomore class last year with me.
I did. It was really fun. I liked it.
And you were a superstar in radio. Mm-hmm. But you're still in the Communication Academy in the DMP world.
Yeah, I don't know. I like taking pictures more and also making a lot of online just art.
I really want to ask you about this new accomplishment. Tell us the story, and tell us what your new title is.
Okay. I am the Mayan Oregon Ambassador. So I got crowned in, like, right before school started, Sunday, right before school started, so August. And I was crowned by the Inde Maya president. And I came about this opportunity because I am one of the students that participate in learning Mayan on Saturdays at 11. And we're a small community. There are a lot of immigrants from Yucatan. So I know Mayan from Yucatan, so I'm trilingual. And that's one of the reasons they were like, hey, we would really love if you could be our representative, our ambassador this year. And I am the first ambassador in around 16 years. So it's a really big accomplishment.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
I'm really excited. And it's more of an opportunity that I get to talk about my culture. I really love my culture. I started talking more about my culture when I had my quinceañera. I learned how to dance jarana, which is the cultural dance of Yucatan. And I grew up speaking Mayan. So Mayan is, I speak Spanish and then Mayan and then English. So you could say English is my third language. And I really like it. I just love talking about my culture.
One of the things I love to tell radio students is you can do anything and accomplish anything with the power of communication. And if you can speak more than one language, you have multiple times the power of communication. Mildred, can you say something for us in Mayan for us, just to give us an example of kind of show us what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say, how are you? So, Bisha Belish. And I really like, my middle name is Hat Sibil, which means gift of water. So I could say, how are you? My name is Hat Sibil. So Bishabalesh Ikava Hat Sibil. And if we want to simplify that sentence down, it's how are you? My name is Hat Sibil. But if we want to simplify even more, it's hello, my name is, oh no, how are you? My name is gift of water. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And now, as this newly crowned ambassador, do you have any new responsibilities? Do you have any plans or any? What do you want to do with this new title?
So, with this new title, I want to have more. Right now, we don't have an English to Mayan class, but we are looking forward to starting that soon. Since a lot of people that do speak Mayan, they don't speak English. So right now we're starting with Spanish speakers, learning Mayan, and also we're on Zoom since our teacher is in Mexico, in Yucatan. So we get together and we just learn about like verbs and adjectives and the correct way of spelling and speaking, since a lot of Mayan speakers don't know how to actually spell the words. So my goal right now is to have as many new Spanish speakers join our Mayan classes. And just, I also made a club here at Benson. It's called People of Color Making a Difference. And we haven't started yet since I'm very busy, but we are going to get together, learn about different cultures, and also have different speakers, BIPOC speakers, come in and talk about their professions and how they came about this profession and any tips they have for BIPOC.
Well, as the new ambassador, as the junior class president, as you said, president, right? Junior class president.
Yeah, junior class president.
I want to make sure I get these titles right, Madam President. And I know you're busy, so thank you for stopping by the radio station and saying hi for a couple of minutes. If there's a student that wants to get involved in this group or this class or this program or organization, can you share with us how a student can get involved?
Well, right now, since we don't have a website, you can just directly DM me on Instagram. So my Instagram is mildred.cb, and I can send you all of the information from there. And since we also have an Instagram for People of Color Making a Difference, so it's POC_makingadifference. So you can also find us there, and I can send you any information you'd like from there as well.
And if you need to, if you're listening to this and you want more information, you can always reach out to the radio station. There's contact information for us on the KBPS website, kbps.am. And if folks reach out to me, I'd be happy to connect them with you, Mildred.
Yeah, of course.
Congratulations again on your new crowning, your new title. What is there a proper title for the title?
Well, I'm just the Mayan Oregon ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Eustach, I made a joke during class when I talked about it, since we were learning a little bit about the Mayans and the Aztecs. He was like, "You guys have to call Mildred Miss Ambassador." And I was like, "No, it's okay." But yeah, a lot of people are calling me Miss Ambassador. Yeah.
Do you like it?
I think it's really silly, and I'm still not used to it.
That's how I felt my first year as a teacher. Everyone calling me Mr. Patterson. I'm like, whoa, I'm in trouble. What's going on? Congratulations, Mildred. Keep up the phenomenal work, and thank you for all you do for the Benson community, for the Mayan community, for all of us.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the Student Hour. Student voices for Portland. Powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
I'm Joe Anderson, KBPS class of 2024, joined alongside my on-air partner and interview partner for this quick assignment and hopeful student hour segment, James. James, thanks so much for being with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. So, Joe, what do you have to ask me?
Well, James, I heard today is you went into the classroom today and we were giving our little updates, and you said you went to a concert last night. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. So last night at around 8, I believe 8:30-ish, I went to Roseland Theater in downtown Portland near Old Town, and I saw King Krewel live. He had an opener, I believe it was Slauson Malone 1. And they were both pretty fantastic and very musically talented. It was really great to see them, as King Krewel is one of my favorite artists. So it was really awesome to see him live.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun. What would you say like a really big highlight or fun event in the concert was?
I think for me, it was just probably obviously when he was singing some of my favorite songs. I mean, I think for anyone that goes to a concert, that's always a highlight, you know, when your favorite song gets sung. And for me, he sang like probably like four or five of my favorite songs. So I was pretty happy to hear that. You know, hopefully I can get a couple of them on the air so everyone can hear them.
What are those four or five favorite songs, and why are they your favorite?
So for me, one of the first songs that he played that I really liked is called Baby Blue. And that song was the reason why it's one of my favorites is because it was actually the first song that I heard by him. And that kind of initially hooked me and reeled me in with his music. But some of the other songs that I heard were Out Getting Ribs, which is one of his most popular songs. And if you listen to it, you definitely see why, because it's really well made. The acoustic in it, a lot of his music is acoustic, but in this particular song, it's really well done. His voice is super, just very elegant throughout the whole thing. He's very articulate. And some of the other songs, what else? There was another song that I'm blanking on the name right now, but oh, that's right. It was called Underclass, and that song is really good. It's a little bit more of like a little more chill. I think most of his songs are pretty chill. So the very general vibe of the concert was very just laid back, not too much like moshing or anything, which was nice. It was a nice change of pace for what I'm usually used to when I go to a concert. But yeah, seeing him live was really awesome. And maybe I can get one or two of those songs in the air and you can hear them for yourself.
Now, in your total count of all the concerts you've been to, where does this rank?
Ooh, honestly, this was a really, really good concert. So I'd have to say probably like in the top three, honestly, maybe top two. You know?
Top three. What, if any, would be beating this out?
So for me, I think that Lucky, he's like a rapper. He would probably be also on that top three. I mean, they compete pretty hard. They're both fighting for second. But the reason being because the energy and the crowd there really made that like a super eventful and memorable concert. And then one of my favorite concerts that I've been to, I also don't know where to rank this. All of my top three are a little interchangeable, but it was a local concert here in Portland. So there was like a bunch of local bands there. I think there was probably like four or five. And I saw this band called Rhododendron play. And they're fantastic. There's about three of them. There's a bass player, guitar player, and drum kit. And the drummer, as someone who plays the drums, it was really awesome seeing him because he's really, really good. And he's like, he does a lot of really interesting stuff. And I really enjoyed watching them live. And that was my first time ever seeing them. And I only had to pay like $5 for the concert. So it was really cool being able to see them.
$5 for the concert.
Yeah, usually, you know, tickets can get a little pricey, especially if you're getting them kind of last minute. So I'd rather not share how much I spent on this concert, but it was somewhere in the ballpark between $50 and $80, and then, you know, fees usually add up pretty hard. I wanted to go see Wilco. Do you know who Wilco is?
No.
They're kind of like an old, like not old, I'd say kind of more, I don't know, what would I describe their genre as? Like alternative country? I don't even know if that counts as like a genre, but they're pretty good. I wanted to go see Wilco though, as they're coming to town, and their tickets were like $100 before fees. Ooh. And then plus fees, it's like $140 or $50. And I was like, the chances that I even get to be that close to them, it's not really.
Yeah.
It's not really worth it.
Like at minimum wage, like 10 hours of your life. Like,
yeah. So yeah. I was like, they'd be cool to see, but you know, maybe another time when I can actually, you know, financially afford it. And then also if I get a little more time to prepare so that I can get them when the tickets are still only like maybe $60. But yeah, I was really excited to see King Krule, and hopefully there will be many more concerts I'll be going to in the near future.
Nice. Thanks so much, James. Now, that's all the questions I had for you. I'd like to hear the questions you have for me.
Yeah, Joe, so I know you have a pretty impressive rep, you know? Your rep sheet's pretty large. You're the former student body president of Benson Polytechnic, you know? I know you've implemented a lot of pretty cool... what's the word? Like laws, I guess? I'm going to say laws. Do you know the word I'm
policies
looking for?
And policies and programs.
That's the word. Thank you, Joe. So are there any policies or programs that you're most fond of in your time being president?
Yeah. So last year I was the student body president, and it was a lot of fun. But I'd probably say there's about three or four big moments that I'm really proud of, and I'm really happy I was able to implement so that we could bring a better experience for Benson students, present and beyond. So, you know, I just like to start it off, you know, here at the Marshall campus, we are surrounded by a parking lot, you know, like you have
totally,
to walk over
yeah.
it's a massive parking lot. And it's pretty nice, like, especially considering that, like, when we go back to Benson, when the staff go back to Benson, like, in the center of the city, there's no parking.
Oh, yeah.
There's not going to be any parking. Like, they are spoiled. In terms of parking, they are spoiled right now. It is great. So much parking. But the only problem with this parking was there weren't any lines. Like, the lines had faded, like, 10 years ago. And, you know, of course, high schoolers, you know, I hate to, you know, rain all over my former constituents, but they just can't park. I'm sorry. They just can't park. And, you know, sometimes I'm included in that, you know.
Oh, I'd say I'm very much included in that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when I was driving my, like, big boat of a, like, full-size sedan, like, that's hard to park. But there were no lines, and it was really difficult to see, like, am I in the lines? Am I intruding on this person's space? So you had people parking, like, way too close to each other, and then you had some people parking, like, way too far from each other. So there's a really, like, huge gap in between the two cars, but you can't fit another car in there. So it's just wasted space. And then, of course, kids are parking where they can't be, in, like, loading docks, restricted areas. Thankfully, no ADA areas. Those have always been clearly marked. But something I did as president, I work with the principal, work with the district, got those lines painted, you know?
Ooh,
so now
hey.
If you come out to Benson at the Marshall campus, you're going to be parking in some freshly painted lines, which are pretty exciting. Now, that's probably one of the smallest of the things. We're going to work our way up to some of the other things I've done.
All right. Wow. That's pretty impressive. So excited to see where we go from here.
Well, secondly, we have the gender neutral bathrooms. You know, I had got a bunch of complaints about, you know, a lot of our transgender, gender fluid, non-binary students had communicated to me that there weren't enough gender neutral bathrooms here at Benson. And that was a problem. Because, you know, we all got to use the bathroom, and we got to make sure that our students, our peers, are feeling safe when they, you know, when they need to use the bathroom. Because, you know, no matter who you are, you need to use the bathroom. And if we can't keep our students feeling safe, like they belong in this educational environment, then that's a problem. So that started a really long journey collecting feedback, information, working with the district, working with the principal, surveys, QR codes, all that. And we added two new gender-neutral bathrooms to Benson at the Marshall campus, which I'm really happy about that we were able to get that done. And we made the signs in-house because Benson is, you know, a tech school. So we just made the signs in-house.
I recall that whole movement that you were pushing. You were really on the forefront of that movement. And I know a lot of people that deeply appreciated it. It seems like it's made a very positive change on Benson as a whole.
Yeah. Thanks, James. I'm really happy I was able to do that. And, you know, moving into the next thing, our third out of four, the Benson Astros.
You know what? I think this one's going to really rattle a lot of cages, especially mine, because I'm a little impartial on the name.
You're not a huge Astros fan?
Well, I think going from Techman, which kind of we had that clear mascot, we had a lot going on, or the Texters, whatever you'd like to call them, I think it just is it's a change. I'm not totally sure if it's a positive one for me yet. I'm glad, I guess, that it's more inclusive, although I just think that it was not entirely a necessary change because I didn't really see a lot of people ever complaining about it or ever really going out of their way to say, oh, hey, this is something we need to have changed. Maybe we could have focused some concerns somewhere else. But you know, nonetheless, I'll still let you continue with what you're going to say.
Actually, I'm really glad that you brought that up. Thank you. Because that is like something that a lot of people had voiced. Like, we already have a mascot. We already have, you know, this name. It works. You know, it's not the best, but it works. Why do we need to change it? And I'll tell you that throughout, you know, the last 10 years, you know, of Mr. Wilson, our principal, he's been getting, you know, some complaints. You know, students are like, you know, tech men, you know. Half of our school doesn't identify as a tech man. And that was something that he always felt, you know, that if, especially going back into a new building, like we need to, again, to make sure our students can feel represented and heard so that they can be successful in an educational environment, because that's really important. You know, if you don't feel heard, if you don't feel like you're affirmed that you can belong, then how can you learn? So he's always been getting complaints about that, but we felt that now was the perfect time to change to a more community-driven and community-oriented mascot and nickname. Because, you know, in a year, we're going to go back to Benson, we're going to go back to our new building, and if we painted, you know, Techmen all over the walls, you know, and students complained about that, they didn't like that, they petitioned administration to change it, then we got to go over that paint, then rechange it, and it's already been printed everywhere. And we wanted to avoid that, and just taking this amazing opportunity to find something that was better, that students felt was more representative of them. And I'm really glad you brought up those points. So we looked into the history of the Benson Techmen, and it turned out that Texters isn't a real word. And, you know, Techmen was always how we described, you know, the boys' basketball team, the football team, when we had a football team. It only became Texters when we, like, integrated men and women, because we were always a boys' school. When we had, you know, more people coming to Benson, then we were like two alumni in the 70s. We're like, yeah, let's just call it Texters. And it stuck. And we felt that two alumni behind a closed door meeting, like, what, 70 years ago? How long ago was the 70s? Let's see if it's 50 years ago.
Close enough, you know. Yeah.
You know, before I was born, you know, in a closed door meeting, like, two guys, two men, like, let's do Texters. Like, that's just not community oriented or community driven. So we said, you know, let's see if the students want to change, you know. So we did all the surveys, we did everything, and we got Astros. You know, we had all the students vote through that. I think we had a few other nicknames in the hat, but in the end, they voted on Astros. And, you know, my philosophy as being president is, you know, not every issue applies to me, not every issue affects me. But if my constituents have issues that affect them, then those issues become my issues. So I had been in your boat. I was like, you know, what's wrong with Texters? But when I heard that, you know, some students here felt that they weren't being represented with that, you know, that's when it became my problem and my job to fix that and find something more representative. So we ended up with Astros. You know, I presented to the superintendent alongside our principal. I presented to the board. And our resolution got approved. So now we are the Benson Tech Astros. And throughout this year and into the next, we'll be working on branding and getting mascots and seeing what exactly that looks like. Because we have just so much freedom with Astros. And I think in my statement to the board, I said, you know, Astros, they're really closely associated with astronauts. And I think that really connects to Benson because of, like, forward thinking and innovation. And that's all about what Benson what they do. And I know I'm going a bit over time right now, but there was one more thing I wanted to touch on. It's probably the biggest thing that happened, me being president here at Benson.
Oh, totally. Go ahead.
That I am most proud about. So Benson students come from all over the city, and they're extremely reliant on public transportation. So it's not, you know, not everyone has a car. Not everyone has the means to get around or the means to a fare. And that was a problem. So I'd say the summer of like 2021, 22, I came across a pilot program that was from TriMet, and they'd help, you know, students if they needed a free summer transit pass. They'd give them a free transit pass for the summer because Portland Public Schools provides all their students with free transit passes, but they only cover it the school year. And I really believe that we need to support students outside of the classroom as much as we support them inside of the classroom to make sure that they are successful in school and, you know, going forward in life, you know, their post-secondary pursuits. So I felt that, you know, that was a problem with students not having any access to public transportation over the summer, especially, you know, low-income students or students who just couldn't pay the fare. So I stumbled upon that program offered by TriMet, and I got in touch with their senior directors of community engagement, and we started a partnership. And, you know, months later, I was on a team with two staff members from Portland Public Schools and one from TriMet. Great people. I was actually neighbors with one of the people from PPS. He was a great guy. And we were so happy that we were able to get every high school student in the Portland metro area a free high school summer transit pass.
Howdy, KBPS. This is another Student Hour segment. I'm here interviewing Makai, who is also a radio major.
Hello, I'm Makai, or as I often introduce myself on my own show, Makai DE. I'm happy to be here.
Makai, we'd all be very interested to know, what kind of music do you listen to, and why?
Well, I listen to almost anything, honestly, but if I had to pin it down to a few genres, it'd have to be folk punk, hard metal, and I suppose hyperpop is one that I really am interested in. Oh, also indie. Oh. Indie anything.
Can you tell me, like, what does hyperpop mean? Like, what does that describe?
I honestly am not too, like, well-versed in the history of it. From what I've seen, it's a combination of, like, classic American pop with, like, a lot of, like, extremely hyper-synth additions. A lot of, like, Japanese lyricists and a mixture of, like, Vocaloid.
Okay. How would you say your relationship with music has changed as you've gotten older?
It's changed wildly. I'd have to say I grew up with a lot of, like, classic punk, like songs from Green Day, Zombie is a really hard-hitting one. A lot of David Bowie as well. Love David Bowie to death.
But God, love that guy.
Yes, love him. Great dude. My music style when I was younger was definitely only punk because that was kind of what I grew up on. It was what I heard playing live when I was like around people I lived with, all that type of things. But as I kind of go and grow and all that jazz and go on my own and have the wide range of the internet, I find myself listening to a lot of foreign music and foreign styles and all that jazz. So, yeah.
Cool. Foreign, like, is there anywhere specifically that you like to listen to music from?
I listen to a lot of Asian and Arabic music. Very different vibes for both of them. But yeah, I really like Arabic vocals and just the Arabic language in general. It's like, I find it very beautiful. And I find Asian music, specifically Japanese, again, with that hyper-pop, it's very energetic and I can enjoy it.
All right. Switching gears, what kind of books do you like to read and Why do you like to read them?
I wonder, it kind of depends if we consider fan fiction books, because if I'm honest, as I grow older, I have a hard time sitting down and reading physical books because I don't have enough time, or it's just stressing because I have dyslexia and it, like, specifically affects me when I'm reading physical books on paper because, like, I don't really know, honestly, I should probably get it checked out more thoroughly, but I have a hard time reading physical books. But when it comes to online stuff like fanfiction, I read so much. Like, so much that I have a hard time reading a book and not immediately knowing what's going to happen because read way too much.
I think a lot of people probably have similar experiences to you on that.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a common thing. And as to why I read so much, or, like, what I read exactly, is I guess it goes back to when I was really young, like when I was first learning how to read. I mentioned I have dyslexia, I believe, and it was a bit of a learning curve for me to get to, like, proper reading. So I started off with reading, like, illustrated fairy tales because I was just obsessed and enamored with, like, these beautiful illustrated things of, like, one of my favorite fairy tales was Baba Yaga and Her Three Sons. And it just, there was this picture book that I had in my school library that had, like, these beautiful, like, almost hand-painted watercolor prints, and they were, like, the best thing ever. And I couldn't actually read what the words said, so it was really, like, impactful for me to, like, try and learn how to read it.
Oh, yeah. I was also a late reader, so I could definitely connect to how picture books help and are interesting. So moving from being a very young child to where you are now, how would you say that your view and how you consume books has changed from then to now?
I mentioned a little bit about how I mostly read fan fiction now, but that's kind of the biggest change. I went from almost exclusively reading fairy tales and factual books like eyewitness books on the history of Egypt or like all types of minerals to exclusively reading like short form fantasy AU content. I actually think it's a pretty common thing for people, for kids, I mean, to specifically start reading off like really heavy books, like above their reading grade, and kind of devolve into like shorter form things. I don't know what it's necessarily called, but that's kind of where I am at now.
More broadly in media and in media production, sometimes an artist's work can get overshadowed by something that an artist has done. Do you say that you are on the side of people who say that an artist is separate from their work, or do you think that artists and their work are intertwined inextricably?
I'm on the side that I don't think you can fully separate an artist from their art. Unless it's in the case of an artist created something when they were younger or like a teenager, and then as they grew, their opinions changed on the topic, and they are a different person than they were when they wrote the thing. If they had the opinions that they have had when they wrote the book, I do not think you can remove them from that. I think a person's sort of essence and how they look at the world is imbued into the things they create. With artists like J.K. Rowling, a pretty well-known example of, can you separate the art from the artist? I do not think you can, because you can look back at her work, and people did look back at her work when she was in her prime, when she was like still producing the Harry Potter series, and they saw problems. They saw instances of racism, of sexism that were not part of the book's narrative, but instead her own thoughts on the stuff, on the topic. So she had those ideals when she was writing the book, and they only increased after she finished the series, which all kind of snowballed into her topics and ideas around transgender issues. I don't think you can remove a person's opinions from their art if they wrote those opinions into the art.
How do you think that your consumption of different forms of media is connected? Like, do you think that you consume similar genres of books and of music and of YouTube videos, or are they completely separate?
Oh, I definitely have a theme within the media I consume. It's mostly based on a lot of, like, punk movements, anti-government, or like deconstructions of a lot of things. A lot of my YouTube consumptions, or like movie or like picture-based consumptions, are like video essays or like documentaries, so I can gather information. Whilst things like my book consumption are more along the lines of, documentary-like set stuff. It's more of like an escapism, or like examples of how I can do, or it's like examples of how I can change the world, or how people have changed the world in a fantasy or idealized setting. A lot of my media is a through run for all of my ideals and ideals that I want to expand on and all of that jazz. So yes, I do think they are all connected. Also, my music is just very punk. Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Makai.
And thank you for interviewing me, Connor. This was a joy to have you talk to me. Thank you. Yes.
This is the Student Hour, student voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. We'll be right back.
Hello, people listening to the Student Hour. I'm James, and today I'm going to be interviewing Josiah Wester. So, I usually see you wearing a kilt around school. Why is that?
It's an expression of cultural heritage. My dad really started it. He used to wear a kilt when I was really little. And then I love the idea. So I would wear my kilt. It represents our family and our family colors. My dad's side of the family is Pew. So we'll wear Pew tartan. And my mom's side is Anderson. So I personally wear that one. Most people who were Andersons tend to grow up to be like doctors or physicians or historians, some kind of significant position. So hoping to continue on the family tree.
Well, what do you like to do in your free time?
In my free time, I like to study a lot. I also like to read. Generally, finding out a lot of things about history has been a fun exploration, but especially Scottish history as well. Recently, I've been recreating the garb and outfits from 300 years ago in Scotland, which is why I wear my great kilt all the time.
Well, is there anything else you can tell us about your Scottish history?
Not really. I know that on my dad's side, we came from Wales and we moved to Pennsylvania. And then on my mom's side, my great-grandfather was Anderson, Swedish Anderson. And so he was from Sweden. His ancestors were from Scotland. And then he brought that name to our family. And so I've just kept it.
Well, that's a sweet little bit of history, but are there any stories you like?
Probably one of my favorite stories is Rob Roy. He was by far one of the most famous Jacobites. The man blew up a castle and stole money from a duke. If you haven't looked into him, look into him now.
Well, what would you say your favorite year of high school has been so far?
That's a hard question to answer. Right now, things are looking up for senior year. I have no first period both days, and I get to spend a lot of time reading. So overall, so far, my senior year has been my best year. My most enjoyable before this was my junior year. That one, I loved biology class. Miss Jones was the best teacher. So by far, so far, junior, senior year are my best.
So what's your favorite class here at Benson?
My favorite class, I would have to say right now, it's English class. In my English class, really the only thing we have to do is read for 20 minutes a day, and that is so easy. Ooh. And then also the work is enjoyable. They teach us how to actually like take notes and remember how to take notes, and I really appreciate what they've done so far.
So what would you say your favorite memory is?
My favorite memory?
Yeah, like anything, I guess the thing you found most enjoyable in life in the past.
It's a hard, hard question. Why is this so hard? It shouldn't be this hard. I don't know. I think going on air so far is my favorite memory. I got a lot of help with that sophomore year. So thank you, Jacob.
What's your favorite class? Oh, wait, I already asked that.
You already asked that, but second, I've changed my mind on that one. Radio. Radio is my favorite currently there.
Yeah. Well, though, who's your favorite teacher?
Jacob, 100%. Mr. Patterson, Jacob Patterson. That is the coolest teacher ever. He has snacks in like a little closet area. He gives people food, and then he also allows you to just go on air and broadcast. And so, by far, Jacob has been the best and my favorite teacher.
So, what is your favorite color, though?
My favorite color? I'm colorblind. I've never seen blue or dark blue. They both look purple. So, for me, my favorite color is purple.
Well, has color blindness ever caused any struggle in your life?
With art class, yeah. I've never really been super good at making art in art class, unless it was with like a pencil. But when it came to coloring, I just messed up all the time, and none of the colors really mix well together for other people. So, by far, yeah.
And what is the most interesting thing you've learned about in history, well, when you're researching history?
I think that the most interesting thing that I have been learning about is the progression of armor. You had people, like, 3,000 years ago, the Celts, they either didn't wear armor, or when they did, it was just chainmail, because they invented it. Other people before then had just, like, giant plates of, like, bronze or copper. And then moving into the, like, Middle Ages, at the beginning, you just had chainmail. That's where the Crusaders wore chainmail. They didn't wear plate armor. You had the Vikings wearing chainmail, all that. And then moving into 1400s, 1350s, you had plate armor, finally. So that's, like, pig-faced bassinets, wearing yupon, tons of stuff. And then, yeah, I could keep going, but...
Do you have anything else to add?
Add to that?
Well, no, to basically this conversation in general, because you've been saying some very interesting stuff, and I'd love to hear some more.
If you haven't read the book On a Sunbeam, check it out. It's a great book. Also, Handmaid's Tale. Both are amazing. Not related to each other.
Okay, well, that has been James here interviewing Josiah Wester for the Student Hour. Goodbye, people.
My name is Mary Weather, and I'm an aspiring voice actor. I have all sorts of different unique and charming characters, and I like to give them each their own equally unique and charming voice so I can differentiate them. And I think those voices can help exemplify and exaggerate a bit their own personalities and sort of get it across, even if you don't really know them that well. And I'd like to share with you a couple of those characters and their voices. First up, we've got Autumn Fall, who... She can be a bit odd at first, and others regard her as maybe being a little bit much, but she knows what she wants, and she knows how to get what she wants, and she will never stop fighting for what she believes is right. And ultimately, how others view her doesn't really matter to her. Then we've got Treble, who is a bit of a rebel and doesn't really like following the status quo and is all about resistance and standing up against the man. She's 15 years old and drives a motorcycle and is very, very adamant about what she believes in. And I think that sort of comes across in her voice.
Then we've got Jesta, and whenever I do her voice, I always make sure I smile because you can really tell. Jesta, as you might be able to tell from her name, is a bit of a jester. She's a bit of a joker. She's all about having fun and doing all sorts of weird, wacky things and playing pranks and all sorts of stuff. So she has a bit of a high-pitched, sort of whimsical, sort of wacky-sounding voice. And it just sounds like the kind of voice that you'd hear before, you know, you get pied in the face or you accidentally sit on a whoopee cushion or all sorts of fun little pranks that she likes to pull. Those aren't the only voices that I have, but those are three of them and those are the three that I wanted to share. I really love doing this and I hope that one day I can become a professional voice actor and get paid to do my silly little voices. This is Meriwether and you're listening to The Student Hour.
You're listening to The Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
Hello, I'm Cole with KBPS, and this is a little update on the cars, since I haven't talked about them for like at least 4 or 5 months. I think the last time I was on here talking about them, I just bought my Integra. I still have it. It's just being finished, actually. From Saturday, it's done, which I know took a really long time, but I had other things going on this summer, which I want to talk about. I had pretty much, I guess, starting from June, I was working on the Integra every weekend up to, like, the end of June. And I kind of just quit working on it because I got unmotivated. I don't want to work on it anymore. Started to piss me off, all that. And then I ended up buying a Subaru Forester. It was a 2001, I think. It was slam Subaru Forester. My homie owned it. I bought it. I had a ton of issues with him personally when I bought it, with getting the wheels back and all this other stuff, and I ended up just selling it, and then I had issues with him after selling it. So that was kind of a car that I didn't really enjoy having very much when I was pretty excited to get that engine redone, get it all fixed, all that, but I just ended up scrapping it since it just wasn't worth my time, unfortunately. It was all built to an extent. Like, it was basically just slammed, and they just had, it was just a bag of issues. I mean, I wish I had it still right now. I would have been working on it all the time, trying to get it all done and everything and fix it up, but it is what it is. Just at the time, it wasn't a good time, especially with some family emergencies popping up too, where I needed that money to go do some other more important stuff than fix a car. I also got a Subaru Impreza WRX STI. That thing was really fun to work on. It had a big turbo in it, and you know, blow off valve, so many turbo noises, 5-speed. I fixed it up for someone actually, but I was pretty much dailying it for the time being since it worked the whole time. I just had to replace stuff, so I made sure it all worked. It's kind of what he told me to do, and I was like, all right. So I was driving that for about a month. It was a really nice car. I would buy one myself if I had the chance to. The only thing that kind of blew about it was the ignition was punched, so he started with a screwdriver because someone tried to steal it when it was in his driveway. So unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it doesn't look great when you're in the city. Luckily, I was working on it in the country, so that's more normal thing to do out there than it is in the city. Without getting, you know, if you get caught, cops aren't gonna be like, oh, they're gonna be more thinking that you stole it if you're in the city. That's what I'm trying to say. But then the last thing with I got an Audi for fixing that car. Actually, I got a 99 Audi A4 Quattro 1.8 liter turbo, and it's a pretty exciting car. I don't really know what I want to do with it yet. I'm either going to build it, as in, like, I've been wanting to do a slammed car for a real long time because I think it's kind of fun or interesting, and it's a car where I don't really, like, I don't care about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, I wouldn't do it to my daily, obviously, because it's nice and I don't want to ruin it. I wouldn't do it to the Integra because that's like my favorite car I've ever owned. I don't want to ruin it. Whereas the Audi, it's already a salvaged title. It's kind of gross. It has over 200K. Like, I don't really mind doing that. I mean, I might try to do some like sketchy stuff with it instead of buying like coilovers. I might try and see what cutting springs is like, or using hockey pucks or something like that, which I know to any car enthusiast sounds like I just said the worst thing known to man, but it's just kind of experiments I have, I guess. It needs a new clutch, so that's going to be something new for me too. I don't work on German cars, so it's also really new to me. I'm thinking about, like I said, doing some sketchy stuff like slamming it. I'm probably going to try to do like a blow-off valve on it. I might get like a two-step if it isn't expensive. Or depending on if it's just a better idea for me to fix it up and just sell it, get some money, and I'll just buy a Golf, like a GTI or something, like a 1.8 or a VR6, and do the same thing, except minus the slamming part. I do want to do a two-step on a 1.8T, because if you ever know what they sound like, it's kind of something that I've always been interested in trying out, at least. I don't know. I guess my other thing with thinking about stuff like that is I just want to try to do all like the, I guess what you call stupid teenager stuff before I become like an adult, where it's just like, it's just dumb. You know what I mean? Like, that's just all stuff I've wanted to do to my car, just because I was interested. It was interesting to me personally. I was like, well, might as well, you know. Something I can do now, I can remove it or sell it or whatever, and then, you know, it is what it is. I don't have it anymore since I drive a grandma car right now, pretty much, an NPC car, so... I like my cars to be pretty interesting, but yeah, half is half. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If anyone's interested in what I'm doing with all my cars and everything, follow my TikTok at Bearnaise Sauce. That's pretty, or my Instagram, which is also at Bearnaise Sauce. That's where I post all my my car stuff, like what I'm doing, all the progress on my cars. You can see what they look like if anyone's interested. I know I just plugged myself hella, but I don't really mind or, you know, care, since I don't know. Sometimes, like, whenever I hear stuff like this on, like, radio or anything, I want to see what everyone's up to. So this was Cole with KBPS, and I'm out.
Listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Rush by Troy Sivan. It was released on July 13th and produced by Stian Fuego, Novador, and Zone. Let's take a listen. Big communication, tell me what you want. Transit your vibration, let your body talk to me.
I'm Josiah in the KBPS News Center. Oregon residents will soon elect a new top lawyer for the state. Oregon's first female attorney general will not be seeking a new term. Democrat Ellen Rosenblum has served in the position for three terms. The 72-year-old says she's stepping aside to allow new leadership, new energy, and new initiatives to come to the Oregon Department of Justice. In a statement, Rosenblum thanked Oregonians for allowing her to serve for 12 years. Now we know who the star of the next Super Bowl halftime show will be. Usher, the Grammy winner, will headline the Apple Music Super Bowl halftime show in Las Vegas on February 11th. The 8-time Grammy-winning music megastar says he's looking forward to performing on the NFL's biggest stage. In a statement, Usher says, "It's an honor of a lifetime to finally check a Super Bowl performance off my bucket list, and he can't wait to bring the world a show unlike anything they've seen from him before." One of the biggest pop bands from the 90s is back together, and the music world is buzzing about it. Justin Timberlake and all five original members of NSYNC were together for the first time in a decade. They presented an award to Taylor Swift at the MTV Video Music Awards. According to multiple reports, NSYNC is rumored to be making new music for the upcoming Trolls film. I'm Josiah, reporting in at the KBPS News Center. Thank you for listening.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.